So tonight we're going to just turn up the book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm not going to read anything just yet. Just keep that open on that page. Romans chapter 12. Because last week when we were looking at the subject of the body of Christ, we saw that what the scripture says, that the body of Christ is the church. It's the church of Jesus, it's the gathering of God's people, and every single person in the church, we fit in somewhere. Every single person has a function to perform. And if the church doesn't, if the individual members of the church don't fulfill their function properly, the church becomes incomplete. Or if the church doesn't, individual members of the church don't work properly, if that's the right word. It's like our body when it gets sick. You know, we can't say that just because if we've got a bad hand that we say, well, we'll just chop our hands off and then we'll be okay. Because, you know, the hand is part of the body. And if the hand isn't right, then our body's not right. And it's the same in the church. If one person suffers, you know, Paul taught this, every single person feels it. When we rejoice, or when one person rejoices, it affects the whole church, and we all rejoice. We could think of it rather like a, and I've got a picture here to show you. No, I haven't, it's over here. Think of it rather like a jigsaw puzzle, and I've got a picture of a puzzle, which I must say, doesn't look very much, but that took me hours. To colour all that in. But there we see, you've got a basic picture there, which is a beach scene. You've got the sand, you've got the sea, and then obviously the sky at the top. But there's a bit missing right in the middle. Now, that's a very vital piece of the puzzle, because on that piece of the puzzle, which you can't see, is what the scene is focusing on. Now, you don't know what it is. It could be a boat, it could be a person swimming, it could be a dolphin or a shark with its fin up. Something's happening right there, but you don't know what it is because the picture's incomplete. And until you find the missing piece and put it in, you never know what the picture is. And that's how we are in the church. You know, if people are missing or they're not functioning the way that God intended them to function, it's like an incomplete puzzle. And the puzzle will never be completed until we actually fit in and make the picture complete. And to help make the church complete, or another thing, if you're not only finding the missing picture, if you try and put a piece in the wrong place, the picture doesn't work properly. You couldn't have this bit up here, because then you'd have a dolphin in the sand or something like that, or and it wouldn't work. But the picture's got to be right, the puzzles have got to fit together, just like that they do in a jigsaw. And there's only one way to fit, and we can't try and squeeze can't try and put somebody who should be sweeping the church into a pulpit position, but then maybe should be put somebody who's supposed to be in the pulpit and give him a job like making tea or something like that. Everybody fits together and they all have a function to perform. And to help us make the church, the body of Christ, complete, God has given to the church various gifts. Now, the New Testament, and you'll see there's one here in Romans, there's another passage in Corinthians, and another passage in Ephesians. And each of those three passages outline three sets of gifts that God has given to the church. Now, in Romans, which we're going to read tonight, is what we have, we call the basic gifts. Now this, every single person in the church will fit into one of these gifts. Some of us might fit into two or three of them, but we will all fit into at least one. Now you may not know what that is, you may not have any idea what that is, but you will fit into one of them. These are basic gifts that God has given to the church. Well, actually given to every, he's given what he gave to every believer, but he's given it to the church. Now, in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these aren't gifts that we have, like the Romans ones. These are gifts that we should earnestly seek. Now, the Bible tells us that we should earnestly desire the best gifts. We should earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit. We should want to be filled with the Spirit. We should, because those gifts build the body of Christ up. There's those gifts, there's nine of them listed in Corinthians. And they include the gifts like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, prophecy, working of miracles, the gifts of healings, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And you'll know that if you've been in church any length of time, you'll know that perhaps we don't always operate in our church perhaps as often as we ought to in those, but you know, there are times when tongues are given, or an interpretation of the message is given, or God reveals a word of knowledge to someone, or a word of wisdom. And these things are, they're there to build the church up. But these gifts are gifts that we should seek as Christians. The Romans gifts are gifts that we have, that God has given us. The gifts of the Spirit are what we seek, and they come from the Holy Spirit, which is why they're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, we read of some more gifts. And these are called the ministry gifts of Jesus. It's what Jesus has given the church for ministry, or to build up. Now these gifts are gifts that we become. So we have gifts that we have, given to us by God, gifts that we seek, given to us by the Holy Spirit, and gifts that we become, given to us by Jesus himself. Now these gifts include things like the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Those are the ministry gifts. And there's a few other gifts in Ephesians 4 which it mentions. But tonight we're just going to focus on the first group of gifts, which is the basic gifts. We're going to read from Romans 12. We're going to start with verse 6 and just read through. Now let's start with verse 1 and we'll go through to verse 8. So we'll just read these verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there, the apostles showing us, he says, it starts off in verse 4, he says, we have a body and we have different members. You know, in the body there's the arms, the legs, the eyes, the mouth. I've said arms, but if you look at the arm, there's more members, not just the arm, but there's the fingers, there's the elbows, and they all have a function to play. And we've got lots of different parts, but they all work together to make up our body. They have different functions, they do different jobs, but they're all part of the body. And he says, look, he says, we're all the same in the church. He says, although we're many, there's many of us, we're one body in Christ. We're individually members of one another. So we are unique. We've got our own giftings, we've got our own things that we have, but when we come together, we use them, we become the body of Christ. And we use our gifts and the things we have to build up the church, to encourage one another. But before we go ahead tonight and look at what these basic gifts are, let's just make the difference between a gift, because I might use the word gift or the word talent, but they are different. A gift is, and let me get it right, a gift is spiritual motivation, or it's an inward drive to prompt us to do something or to serve God in some way or minister in a certain direction. In other words, let's go to talent first. A talent is something that we naturally gifted to do, a natural aptitude. Now, I've got a gift in the area of music. I've never desired, ever. In actual fact, I've never desired to use my gift for anything else other than serving God. I've never had a desire to go on the streets and busk, which you see a lot of people doing, and they go out and put their hat on the floor. I've never had that desire. I've never had a desire to take it round, take the music round pubs and clubs and things like that. It's never on my mind at all. The only thing I've ever wanted my music to do was to serve God with it. But then, on the other hand, I never intended, when I learned the guitar, to use it to lead meetings. I had another purpose. I wanted to use it to be able to just minister in song as and when the occasion presented itself. And let you know every now and then, perhaps I do sing something in the service, but it's everything's geared now. I use it towards leading the meetings, but that was never the intended purpose, but it's still being used to serve God. Now, that's a gifting that I've got. And that prompts me, because I'm prompted, I have that inward drive to use it for the service of God, or use it for ministry. Elvis, on the other hand, he's got a gifting to sing. Now, he can do what he likes with his singing, but if it's a gift from God, it should be that the urge inside to sing for God's glory. Now, you can sing, I'm not saying it's wrong to sing elsewhere or do other things, but you have a talent is, you can have a talent for singing, but a gift is when you really want to use it to serve God with it. And we've all got different things. You might have a business brain or something like that. You might be able to be good at business. You might be naturally gifted in that area. That's your talent. But when it becomes, well, I can use that business sense I've got in the service of God. You know, every church needs. A church very much is like a business. You know, it has to have the business side of it. You know, there are things that you need to deal with. You need to deal with the government. You need to deal with various authorities and things. You might need to deal with the local council if you're going to go out on the streets and do things. So you've got to have that business acumen in the church. And some people are naturally gifted for that. And as they turn that gifting over to the Lord, or that talent over to the Lord, it becomes their gifting. And so let's begin to look at some of these basic gifts in the scriptures. You know, let's start by saying this. When we're born again, you know, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. The word we use in church is regenerates. In other words, he makes us new. He washes us, cleanses us. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus when we put our faith in him. The Holy Spirit comes in our hearts by faith. And that work of salvation, or that work of regeneration, transforms our dead human spirits. Well, that's what it says at the beginning of this chapter. You know, that we We've got to allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in, He transforms our life. Now, and that word transform there is the same word that we use of when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Actually, in the Greek, it's the word metamorpho or something like that. Means to metamorphose, a metamorphosis. We have a change. Not just a change in our... not we've become a Christian, but there's a complete change of our bodies, of our spirits. Just like the caterpillar. It's a caterpillar, well, at one moment, then it spins its little cocoon, and a few weeks later it comes out of that thing completely different. You wouldn't even know it was the same creature. And that's what the Spirit of God does to our dead human spirits. It makes us alive. And as He comes in, He brings and He deposits within us our gifting. He puts within us our ability, which we use to contribute to the building of the church. So that's been put in you. That was put in you at salvation. When you were born again, your gifting was put inside. Now, it may not be apparent and you may not know what it is, but God put it inside you when you got born again. Now, the basic gift that we're going to look at tonight is that motivation that the Holy Spirit gives us, or that anointing that comes upon us, where God anoints perhaps our natural ability into for His service. You know, and that anointing of God gives our talent or our ability great potential, because it makes a significant contribution in the church. We can have talents, and it's not good to run the church on talents, because we can be talented at everything. We can be a talented preacher, we can be a talented singer or a talented musician, we can be talented in other, but that's not good enough in the church. It needs to be an anointed service. We need the Holy Ghost to anoint that gift. And that's when it really becomes a gift. Otherwise it's just a talent. But when the Holy Spirit anoints it, it becomes a gift that God has given us. And we use it. So let's go through this list. Everybody in the church, that includes me, that's you, from the youngest to the eldest, everybody has one of these gifts, or more. And we read them in verses 6, 7 and 8. Now don't get... When we go through these, don't get hung up on the words that are used. I'll try and explain as we go through. It starts off, says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So here Paul says, look, he says, we've got gifts, different gifts, and it's according to God's grace. God's grace has given us these gifts. So the first one, reading verse 6, it says, if your gift is prophecy, then he says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now don't misunderstand when it says prophecy. We mustn't confuse that with the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a gift of prophecy that we see. It's like a speaking in tongues, but it's speaking in the language that we know. So you mustn't confuse it with that. Neither is it the gift of the prophet, which you get in the ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor and teacher. The word prophecy here literally means to proclaim or declare. And it's talking about the word of God. So we could say this, if your gift is preaching, then preach in proportion to the faith. Because that's what it means, to proclaim the word of God. But then don't get hung up on that word preaching, because you'll see this time and again. Whenever you share the word of God, it might be in a testimony. It might be in song, if you're singing a song that comes from... Whenever you proclaim the truth of God's word, it's like preaching. So you might think, well, I'm not a preacher... But if you're out on the streets and you're sharing your testimony with people, or people you work with, you're witnessing to them. In effect, you are preaching because you're sharing the word of God. And that's really what preaching is. It's proclaiming the word of God. You know, you're telling them, well, this is what God did for me and he can do it. Yeah, it might be your testimony, but it's what God has done. You know, you obviously you tell them that, yeah, well, the Bible says you need to be born again. And, you know, that's preaching. We might think, well, that's just witnessing. Well, that's proclaiming the word of God. So when we go through this gift, let's not confuse it with not just, I'll just use the word preaching, but I want you to understand it can mean witnessing, testifying. Whenever you say what God says in his word, and it might be through a song, you know, this gift is a gift that enables the person who has it to be led of God, to be inspired of God, to proclaim the word of truth in such a way so that those that are hearing are ministered to or respond to it. So in your witnessing, you might be obviously you're proclaiming the word. You want the person you're witnessing to get to that point where they say, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Saviour. Or in your song, you're trying to reach the people you're singing to so that they respond to God. You're bringing them to that point where they make a decision. Or that they make some sort of response to God, or that they feel the touch of God upon their life. And that's inspired, I'll say inspired preaching. Or inspired singing, or inspired witnessing, you know. It's a gift that you have to be able to... You know, there's some people that are just... actually, my brother was one of these, my brother John. He has this natural ability just to bring people to the Lord. You know, at work, wherever he is, he can talk. I was talking with Dad a few weeks ago before he went off to Ghana. I said, you know, someone like, you all know Anthony because he was with us a few weeks ago. You know, I just love going out with Anthony if we're going out. Because he has the natural, and I don't have this gifting. Well, I can witness to people, but Anthony's got this peculiar gift. He can just turn every conversation, he can turn around to Jesus. You could be talking about the weather and he'll switch it to Jesus. You talk about something in engineering and he'll switch it to Jesus. And that's a gift that he has. And my brother's a bit like that. And, you know, and that's a gift. That's a preaching gift. You know, it brings people to the point where they make a decision. Now, they might make a decision to say, well, no, I don't want to know. But they come to that decision. And that's the gift of prophecy or preaching. Then they said, if we've got this gift, let's do it in proportion to our faith. You know, let's serve God with it. Let's minister under the anointing of God. To the best of effort, to build up the church. Then it goes on in verse 7, it says, if your gift is ministry, let's use it in our ministry. Now again, don't misunderstand the word ministry, because really that's just talking about serving. There are people that they just love to serve. Yeah, serving one another, it can be, like I think I shared with you last week about the man that stood at the back of the church with the hymn books, and he shook your hand. You know, he was a server. You know, he put himself out. He was always the first at church on the Sunday. He shook your hand as you came in the door. He gave you a hymn book. He gave you a new sheet. He welcomed you into the house. He opened the door for you and showed you where to, well, let you go. You could pick where you like, where you sat. But if the church was full, he'd take you down the church, or he'd find out where the spare seats were in the rows. You know, the church that we used to visit quite, and there was, they had about eight chairs on one side and eight chairs on the other side. You know, had it set out different to the way we had it set out, but we have it set out here, but you couldn't always see. And if there was a space, that six chairs in on it, he'd know where all the spaces were. He'd find out that was his job. That was his gift, his ministry. And he served God in that way. He didn't do anything else in the church, not that I know of, but he was always there at the door. And that's somebody that serves. But this gift enables the person that has it to be sensitive to the needs of others. The person that has the gift of serving will be able to demonstrate a deep concern for people, a desire to help another brother or sister in practical ways. That might not be showing people where to sit. It might be doing shopping for them, or something like if they're elderly and they're unable to go shopping. A gift of where you're serving is, well, brother or sister, no, don't worry about that, and I'll go and get the shopping for you and I'll bring it back, or you go in and cook for them or do something. That's a gift of serving one another. You know, people have that gift. Sometimes, and very often, it's the person who has this gift will overlook all their own personal comforts and their own convenience. They'll allow themselves to be put out because they know they're serving God. It's like going to visit those in prison, or those, we've touched on that tonight, if those go and visit those in hospital. It's putting yourself out to serve other people. And that's the gift of ministry, or the gift of service. But they said, if we've got that gift, let's use it to minister to others. Then it says in verse 7, it says, he who teaches in teaching. Now again, teaching is the ability to be able to present biblical truth. Now don't, again, like I said with preaching, don't get hung up on things like being behind the pulpit here, because teaching can be teaching the children. You know, you're showing, might be teaching somebody how to play a musical instrument. It's not necessarily standing at the front of a church and standing with a Bible and proclaiming, although that is an important part, of that generally comes under the function of the ministry gifts, where it says the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But teaching enables somebody to be able to present truths, normally biblical truths, if we're doing it in the church. The person will enjoy digging out facts, or enjoy researching things, that they'll enjoy comparing scriptures, so they can present either to their young people, their children, or those that they're teaching. I suppose in one sense the gift of teaching could be like teaching somebody a skill. You know, there might be people in the church that like we have set up where we need somebody to operate the computer every week to put the songs onto the screen. Now, not everybody can do that. They're not comfortable with computers and things like that. But somebody might, as a teaching role, teach somebody how to do that. They go into all the... Now, it's not necessarily preaching the word, teaching the word of God, but it's something they can do for God. So it could be a Sunday school teacher, a youth group teacher, or something like that. Then there's the gift of, in verse 8, the first one in verse 8 says, he who exhorts in exhortation. Now, the word there, to exhort, really means to encourage, or to give counsel or advice. The word to exhort is to encourage. And that's a ministry gift. That's a gift that people have. You know, somebody has that ability to be able to come alongside somebody who's in need or somebody who's struggling and just be able to speak words that encourage. Now, this isn't having pity on them. You know, when they're talking about having pity, you know, some people come along and say, oh, well, never mind, brother, you know, it's, oh, never mind, you know, it happens to the best of us, you know, they don't, you know, those sort of people don't really, it's not coming from their heart, but there are people that have really have a genuine gift. You know, even just their presence sometimes encourages some people. You know, just to know that they're there will be an encouragement to others. And that's a gift that people have. You know, they have the gift to be able to support, to encourage, to speak the right words and minister healing to that situation. To encourage or to counsel. Then the scripture goes on and says that there's another type of gift. And that's the gift of giving. He who gives with liberality. A person that has this gift of giving will be able to demonstrate wisdom in handling material things. Not just money, but other things, other possessions and things. Yes, they will be given to themselves, you know, that they had to give into the work of God. But somebody with this gift might also be able to take on people like, the people that do the customs, the revenue and customs. You know, in our church, and in a lot of churches across the country, they are, we give taxpayers, they give money, you know, envelopes, that's why we have the envelopes in our church. And every so often you have to make a report back to the government, and the government sends us money, send all the tax back that you've paid, send it back to the church. So it doesn't affect your, you know, you might give a certain amount, but then we can say to the government, well, this person's given this money, so we'd like to claim the tax back that they've paid on it. So it needs somebody to be able to organise that. And it'll be somebody that has wisdom in handling these sorts of things, the person who has a gift of giving. They might be able to, they might be business people. You know, God has a lot of business people that who their job is to raise money for the kingdom of God. You know that you know what it is. Everything, you know, our homes and our church is no different. Yeah, we need money to function. We have to buy. We have to pay for the halls that we. If we weren't in this hall, and we had our own place like we did in Gaul, we would have to pay for the light. We'd have to pay for the electric, the heating. We'd have to pay all that like you do at home. You know, there are, yes, it comes from the offerings, but there are other things, like, well, we're building a church in Ghana, and we're raising, little by little, every week, money towards it. But there are people that, that God raises up, who have that knack of just being able to raise funds. They might be able to tap a few companies in town and say, look, well, we're doing this for, as part of our church, and we're providing water for these people in Africa, or doing this, to, you know, are you able to support us and help us? You know, and they get it. I mean, I've got a friend who's a pastor down on the south coast, and he was sharing a few, actually it was last year sometime, a thing that their church was doing. Now their church were doing like a soup kitchen, feeding the homeless and the down and outs in their town. And what they thought is, we're never going to be able to get enough food to feed all these people that are coming. So somebody struck upon the idea, they'd go and ask, their local supermarket, well, I think it was Sainsbury's, they'd go and ask Sainsbury's for all the stuff that they throw out. And this was wisdom from God, and God directed them to do it. So they went, they approached the people that were responsible for it, they said, yes, you can have the food for nothing. And obviously they collected this all up, and they went on, I don't know if it was a daily or a weekly basis, but they went and collected all this food in, they cooked it, they prepared it, then they took it out onto the streets and gave it to the homeless, gave it to those that were down and out. Now that's a business sense. You know, God gave that to somebody in the church, and they approached it in a business-like way, and they just saw God meet the need. You know, that's the sort of people, they've got that gift of being able to, it's a giving gift, but it's being able to handle material things and organise material affairs and assets to support and enrich the work of God. Then there's two others in this scripture here, just to finish off with. In verse 8, it says, the next one is, he who leads with diligence. Now, the person that has the gift of leading or coordinating may not necessarily be the person that leads the meetings, but it could be. But it might be somebody that's, and again, a lot of business people have this gifting because they have people working for them. Might be they have a coordinate a group of people and say, well, you do this, you do that. Might be a coordinating or leading the worship team. So they get the worship team together. They bring the musicians together. Say, well, if there's more musicians in the church than they need on the platform, they might say, well, this week we'll have XYZ playing and ABC can have a rest for the week. And then they have to perhaps organise a rota whereby ABC do it the following week. Well, if A's not there one day, they can organise bringing somebody else in. That's a quality of leadership. It may be that these people lead small groups, like going on an outreach team or a prayer group, or it's looking after the youth group or the Sunday school. It's not necessarily standing at the church and leading a meeting, although that could be one part of the gifting. But it's the ability to be able to preside over and organise the activities of others. It may be very practical. Let's say in our church, as I said, we're in this rented hall here, but let's say God put it on our hearts, like we're doing in Ghana, but we were going to build a new building. Well, there needs to be somebody would need to take control of that and oversee it. We can't just everybody just come in on site and slapping down a bit of concrete, or there needs to be somebody actually coordinating and overseeing the work. Now, you can do it yourself, you don't have to have people come in, but as long as there's somebody to direct and say, well, you know, today we don't want brickies in, we need carpenters in, or something like that. We need to get the carpentry done, or we need the, we need the electricians to come in and do the electric work, because then we can get on and do other parts. So it needs somebody to organise it, and that's a gift of leading. Or a coordinator. Yes, it might be that person also has the ability to be able to lead the worship, lead the services, lead this, lead that. But they are there to coordinate other people. It's all for the enrichment, all for the building up of the body of Christ, all for building up the church. Then the final one in this list in Romans here tells us there's a gifting of showing mercy. He who shows mercy, let's do it, to do it cheerfully. This gift is really a gift of sympathy or comfort. And it enables the person who's got this gift to be able to show deep sympathy or have that understanding of certain people's needs and problems. You know, the person with this gift will be able to relate to people. You know, perhaps they've been through it themselves. Maybe they've gone through some suffering. They've gone through a big ordeal in their life. You know, there was a lady that I know. When she doesn't broadcast it. I mean, she's not in our church, but she doesn't broadcast it. But when she was younger, you know, she was abused. I don't know who by. I don't know if it was her father or a close family member. But she was abused as a child. And yes, God's touched her. God's healed her and set her free from that. But now she's in that position, and the church she's in a position where she's if somebody comes in who's suffering those, or who's suffered those, she can draw right alongside them. She knows what they're feeling like. She knows what they've gone through. She understands when they say whatever they say, because she's been there. And that's a gift of showing mercy, a gift of sympathy, or a gift of comfort. You know, she's able to, perhaps not even by saying a word, just make things right. Or, you know, help the people in need. You know, they can relate to the emotional needs of other people very easily. So there's a list there of seven gifts. Now, whether we realise it or not tonight, each and every one of us will fit into one of those seven, maybe more. But what we've... I will just say this to finish with. If we fail to discover our basic gift, or if we know what our basic gift is and we fail to develop it or fail to use it, we're likely the missing piece of the puzzle. You know, we're not allowing the church to be complete and be made up as it should be. And apart from which, we'll be in danger of, we'll look at other people and we'll get jealous of when we see God blessing them, or we'll become envious of something that they've got. And, you know, because it eats away at the heart of the church. If we fail to discover our gifting, we ourselves might become anxious and insecure. Or we might find that we start to get very critical and judgmental of others and think, well, I wouldn't do it like that, you know. And they're not doing it right. You know, they should do it like this, they should do it like that. And it's start to get that judgmental attitude. But if we've all developed in our giftings, you know, God, we'll just knit together, we'll flow together. Yes, we'll have ideas. You might say, well, I wouldn't do it like that, but I'll do it like this. Do you want me to show you? Or do you want me to... You know, it all flows right. So, as we've gone through these gifts tonight, maybe there's things you think, well, that sounds just like me, or that's... I feel I'm good at that, or something like that. Maybe it's just opened up your heart to desire and to develop in God's function and God's role. What I have got with me tonight, and again, it's, we've got the big copy of this on the website, and a copy of it should be in the little booklet that's going in with the CD. There's a little, it's a little questionnaire, a little chart thing, and it goes through and it just presents 35 statements. And it's the same, it's a similar sort of thing as what you get, people get in magazines and things now. And I know Debbie's always doing something like this or other, and I'll find the magazine and she'll answer a few questions and it'll go through and it'll say something. And, but it goes through and it asks questions or asks statements and it gets you to think. The first one on the list here, it says, do I enjoy presenting God's truth in an inspired and enthusiastic way? Now again, don't think of that as preaching. You know, I enjoy presenting like a testimony or something else in an inspired and enthusiastic way. Or I'm ready to overlook my personal comfort so that others' needs could be met. So it goes through and asks, makes various statements. And what the idea is, for every statement, you say whether you agree with the statement. You might make this on the phone. I had to do it the other day when I rang somebody up and they asked me to do a... Can you just give us answer a question at the end of the call? You know, do you agree with this? Press 1 if you agree. Or press 1 if you disagree. 2 if you agree a little bit. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard those things on the phone. But with these statements, the idea is you go through and you, for each one, you give it a score either... Nothing, which means you don't agree with it at all. 1, you agree with it a little. 2, you agree with it some. Or 3, you agree with it a lot. And then there's a little chart on the thing with a little grid at the back where you write your numbers in. But it's designed to get you to think and to get you to sort of discover where you fit in if you don't already know. Now, if you want one, you can take one tonight and look at it. It's not really meant to be public, but you can have it if you want it. But obviously, it affects the church. So it's good. It's a good little exercise to go through. And it's not a precise thing. It's just a guide. You know, it's not saying that. It won't show you, say, well, this is definitely, but it will highlight areas that you're good at, where you're strong, and so it's a good way to begin to develop and discover what your gift is. If you pray about it, you treat it as a proper exercise before the Lord, you go with prayer and say, Lord, I'm going to come before you, and just want you to show me, open up. Again, remember some of the words I've said, you know, don't take things like teaching to do with necessarily to be standing at the front, or preaching to be standing at the front. Again, it could be just sharing your testimony, or you know, teaching children or something like that. But it could very well just show you where your gifting might be. So if you want one, you can take one. I did four for tonight's service. So there's plenty there. So let's wrap it up tonight. Seven gifts there in Romans chapter 12. Next week, God willing, I'm going to look at the gifts we become. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and a few other gifts that are in Ephesians 4. So we'll just pray tonight and commit our time to the Lord. I've done a lot of talking. And you've done a lot of listening. So we need to stop.